Our Old Testament reading this morning, Psalm 18, beginning at verse 13 and reading through verse 24. We will read this in unison. Altogether. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered His voice, hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out His arrows and scattered the foe, lightnings in abundance, and He vanquished them. Then the channels of the sea were seen. The foundations of the world were uncovered. At your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils, He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because He delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, He has recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all His judgments were before me, and I did not put away His statutes from me. I was also blameless before Him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in His sight. Then if you would turn to your New Testament in Hebrews chapter 5 this morning, we will read verses 6 through 10. Hebrews chapter 5 and verses 6 through 10. Again, hear the Word of God. As He also says in another place, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplications and vehement cries and tears to Him who was able to save Him from death and was heard because of His godly fear. Though He was a son, yet He learned obedience by the things which He suffered. And having been perfected, He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him, called by God as High Priest, according to the order of Melchizedek. And thus this reading from God's Holy Word. You may be seated. The title of the message this morning is When Prayers Don't Appear or Don't Seem to Be Answered. Have you ever struggled with unanswered prayer? Have there ever been times when your prayers seemed to go unanswered? Perhaps you prayed for deliverance in a specific situation, but that deliverance did not come. Perhaps you've been praying for something for a long time, and an answer does not seem to be coming. Does prayer work? Has God failed you? The book of Hebrews presents Christ as our great high priest, not according to the order of Aaron, but according to the order of Melchizedek. Our high priest, as we see in our text this morning, is a role model of prayer. Well, why did Jesus pray? We might think that one as great as the Son of God would not need to pray. After all, the Scriptures tell us He has all power in Himself. So why would He need to pray? Well, the Scriptures reveal that our high priest had enjoyed perfect communion with the Father from all eternity. And they also reveal that He still desired that perfect communion in this life. In this, of course, He's an example for us. He's an example of desiring God. As the Psalms put it, whom have I in heaven but Thee? And there is none on earth that I desire beside Thee. The Lord Jesus Christ desired that communion with the Father that He had had and He had enjoyed from all eternity. If two people are in love, they want more than anything else to be with each other. Communing with each other and enjoying each other. Well, it's clear that our Savior enjoyed spending time in communion with His Father. He couldn't live without it. And He prayed on a number of occasions throughout His life. We think of the first chapter of the book of Mark, where it speaks of the fact that a long while before it became light in the morning, Jesus got up and He went out to pray with His Father. We read about other times where He prayed. And then in John 17, that chapter that we call Jesus' high priestly prayer, a wonderful prayer, a very eloquent prayer. He prayed that the night before He was crucified. We read that when He multiplied the loaves and the fishes, before He did that, He first prayed and thanked God for the food. And there were other times in His life when He prayed as well. Well, our Savior enjoyed spending time in communion with His Father. As a matter of fact, He couldn't live without it. It's not too much to, it's not a stretch to say that He could not live without that communion. And so there's a lesson for us. If He who was God in human flesh couldn't live without communion with His Father, then how much less can we mere humans live without communion with the Father? If Christ the perfect one needed it, then we who are imperfect need it even more. Well, our text this morning from the book of Hebrews tells us about our Lord's prayers. And it's illuminating and it's highly instructive. Here we learn many things about our great high priest's prayers. First of all, we see that our high priest's prayers were powerful. They were powerful. Of our great high priest we read, who in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries. The Apostle to the Hebrews speaks of the days of His flesh. That is, our Savior's life in this world. The time when He was on earth. The reason that it would use language like this is because the Scriptures reveal that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who has always been, the one who came into this world. In the case of you and me, we have not always been. We are creatures. We are finite. Our lives had a beginning at that moment when we were conceived in our mother's womb. But our Lord Jesus Christ has always been. And so it says in the days of His flesh, in the days of the time that He was here on earth in the flesh. It does not mean, of course, that now that He has left this earth, He no longer has flesh. He still has that human body. But it is language that indicates to us that the time of His life when He was here in this world, when He was here on earth. So here then, in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries, here's a summary of our Savior's prayer during the time that He was on earth. And really what this is a window into our Lord's prayer life. Here is how the writer to the Hebrews summarizes the prayer life of our Lord Jesus Christ. If a reporter were to set out to describe your prayer life, what would he say? How would it read? Would you want it to be published? Would it say something like, "He prayed infrequently, only when he was in trouble. His mind wandered. He had trouble staying focused. He mindlessly repeated his prayers. His prayers were repetitious. He promised to pray for people, but then forgot all about it." Is that how the account of your prayer life would read? Well, in contrast to that, our text tells us that our high priest's prayers were powerful. The Greek literally has strong cries. One of the modern versions says loud cries. Our Lord didn't just go through the motions of prayer, emotionally detached. he offered prayers and supplications with strong cries. This tells us something. This tells us that prayer was of the greatest importance to him. It wasn't something that he just dabbled in. He was battling the forces of darkness. They threatened to overpower him. He was involved in spiritual warfare. He did this on behalf of his people. Their eternal destiny depended upon his success. If he failed, then his people would fail to reach heaven. And so our text teaches us that our Lord Jesus Christ offered strong, vehement cries. This does not mean that every prayer was prayed in a loud voice. The Bible teaches us that there are those times when we can just whisper in the presence of God. Remember our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. And so it's not teaching us that all of our prayers have to be out loud. And of course the Lord said, don't go stand in a corner and draw attention to the fact that you're praying and that you're holier than other men because you pray in a loud voice. But here's a window into our Lord's prayers. He offered strong, vehement cries. Think of what he said in Luke 22:42. Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Or Matthew 26:42. O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. Think of Matthew 27, verse 46, about the ninth hour. Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is my God, why have you forsaken me? Our text says that the Savior offered up prayers and supplications. These terms are actually very close. They're close in meaning, but yet there is a slight difference between them. The first term is more general. It means a request, a petition. The other term, which is used nowhere else in the New Testament, means an earnest or humble entreaty. But when our Lord offered these prayers and supplications, he was engaged. He was emotionally involved. Here were loud, intense cries. Here were powerful prayers. O child of God, your eternal destiny was at stake, and your Savior did not take it lightly. Thank God that your great high priest was a man of powerful prayer. I shudder to think of what would have happened if our eternal salvation depended on any lesser person. But no, as our eternal salvation hung in the balance, our Savior prayed for us with powerful prayers which ascended to the throne of God. Secondly, we see that our great high priest's prayers were passionate. They were passionate. The text says he offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears. It reminds me of an Old Testament saint, Rachel, in the book of Genesis. Remember how she said in a very terse and passionate prayer, "Give me children or I die." Here was a woman that greatly desired to be blessed with the gift of a child. And so she prayed, "Give me children or I die." And you cannot imagine Rachel just saying, "Ho-hum, give me children or I die. Check that one off. Now I've prayed that request. Now I can go on to something else." That isn't the way she prayed it. She was passionate about that request. But our Savior, too, was not unemotionally involved. And so our text tells us he offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears. Imagine that, our Savior praying with tears. What does this mean? Surely our Lord Jesus knows the end from the beginning. He is the omniscient one. Now, he did not know all things in this life. There's one fact that the Bible says that he did not know the time of the second coming. It says no one knows it, not even the Son knows it. But yet, we do see here's the omniscient one. Here's the one that saw his disciple standing under the fig tree before he called him, even though he was far away. Here was the one that knew what was in the heart of man. And now he's offering up prayers with tears. Why would he do that? Doesn't he know the will of God? Doesn't he know what's going to happen? Doesn't he know that he's going to be successful on his mission? Well, no. Or yes, he does know that, but that still did not keep him from praying with passion, with emotion. And he prayed with tears. Remember how the Bible tells us in John 11, verse 35, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. And he who wept outside the tomb of Lazarus also weeps with us. The Bible says we are to weep with those that weep. We're to laugh with those that laugh and rejoice with those that rejoice. But we're to weep with those that weep. And our Lord Jesus Christ wept when he was here. He offered up passionate prayers. He cares about our need. He who is in heaven right now at the Father's right hand, interceding for us, knows our needs. And they're important to him. He's passionate about them. Our Savior was not unemotionally involved. He was passionate in his prayers. Thirdly, we see in this text that our Savior's prayers were pointed. They were pointed. Notice the text goes on. It says, he prayed to him who was able to save him from death. He did not pray to himself like the Pharisee. Remember the story of the Pharisee and the publican and how our Lord told that. And it says that the Pharisee prayed thus with himself. He said, God, I thank thee that I am not like other men. I fast 3 times a week. No. He didn't pray to himself. The false religions teach us to pray to ourselves. The false religions teach us that we have all of the resources that we need within us. And all we need to do is learn how to muster up those resources that we have within us. The false religions teach us you can handle any situation. Or as I was just reading this past week, national leader was saying that we now, because of the difficulties that we're having with our economy and people out of work and people losing their wealth, losing their retirement, that we have the will and we have the strength to be able to master this situation as well as other situations that we've been in. But our Lord's prayers were pointed. He prayed, as our text puts it, specifically to him who was able to save him from death. He didn't pray to someone else. And he teaches us to pray as well. He teaches us in the Lord's Prayer, which we recited earlier this morning. But in the words just before the Lord's Prayer, they're highly instructive. He says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven. In other words, our prayers are to be pointed as well. And that word pointed could be taken in 2 different senses. Pointed in the sense that we ask specific things of the person that we're praying to, but also pointed in the sense that our prayers are pointed to God and to no other. So our Lord did not pray to himself. He did not try to summon up reserves of his own inner strength. Even the one who says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He didn't try to summon up reserves of his own inner strength. He prayed to God. He prayed to him who was able to save him from death. He prayed to the one who guides history and who moves history toward the destination that he has intended for it. He prayed to him who has all power, the one who is the Lord God omnipotent. He prayed to him who was able to save him from death. Maybe you or I might someday face a life or death situation. I read about a fire that took place in this community just this past week, I believe, and how the headline said, "Time stood still." Here was a woman that was trying to get out of a house where there was a fire. And she had a lot of animals in the house, and she wanted to get them out of the house with her as well. Well, sometime we may face a life or death situation, and we need to remember it is God who's able to save us from death. Ultimately, it is God that is able to give us eternal life and save us from death in that way as well. Fourthly, we learn in our text that the great high priest's prayers were productive. It says, "and was heard." Let's read it in its context. It says, "who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear." His prayers were heard. He was heard by God himself in heaven. His prayers were heard. They were productive. They were effectual. It wasn't just an exercise in helping him to come to grips with what was truly important. It wasn't just a reordering of his priorities in some way. Sometimes people tell us that prayer is a good thing. As a matter of fact, we even had the president of our nation yesterday urging us to pray and saying that the prayers of God's people would be with this congresswoman's family who was shot yesterday. And even sometimes people that don't even make a regular pretense of being Christians in any way, they say, "well, I'll pray for you," or, "you'll be in my thoughts or prayers." Well, the Lord's prayers were productive. He was heard. And yet if we stop and think about that, isn't there a difficulty here? He prayed to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was not saved from death. He died on the cross. This is the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, Christ died for our sins. If it were not for the death of Christ, we would not have a gospel. So what does this mean? He prayed to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard. Well, at the very least, it teaches us that his prayers were productive. He received answers to his prayers. Just think of the prayers that I quoted a little while ago. Luke 22:42, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And of course, we know from the Gospels that it was not God's will that he would take away that cup from Christ. He would have to drink it right down to the bitter dregs, and he would have to do it on behalf of us. But yet he begins that request with, "Father, if it is your will." Certainly he was not unmindful of the fact that it was his will, the Father's will, that he go to the cross. Over and over in the Gospels he said, "this is the reason I came. I came to die." He set his face to go to Jerusalem so that there he could die for our sins. Again, in Matthew 26:42, which I quoted earlier, "O my Father, if this cup cannot pass from me unless I drink it, your will be done." Was that prayer heard? Yes, it was heard. Was it answered? Yes, it was answered. God's will was done. And so we learn that our Lord's prayer was productive. He was heard. and we too will be heard. The Bible teaches us, if we come to God through Jesus Christ the Mediator, if we come to God by Him, then our prayers will be heard. As the Bible teaches us, if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And yes, He does hear our prayers. This morning, I chose as our Old Testament reading from Psalm 18, and I'm going to get to the reason why I chose it in a minute, but as we were reading this morning, I came across something that something that rather startled me as I was reading it. We read in verses 16 and 17, He sent from above, He took me, He drew me out of many waters, He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because He delighted in me. And so, yes, our Lord's prayers were productive. They got results. They were answered. Our Lord Jesus Christ was heard. And if we come to God through Christ, we likewise will be heard. Fifthly and lastly this morning, we learn that the prayers of our Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, were pure. His prayers were powerful. They were passionate. They were pointed. They were productive. But they were pure. And I draw your attention now to that little phrase, because of His godly fear. Again, listen to our text. He offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to Him who was able to save him from death and was heard. Why? Because of His godly fear. Here is a reference to His life of purity. Here is the one that illustrates this particular quality, this godly fear, most perfectly. Remember what our Old Testament text said, and let me reread it. It says in Psalm 18, "The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, He has recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all His judgments were before me, and I did not put away His statutes from me. I was also blameless before Him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in His sight." Here are words that were written by King David. But ultimately, these words are not fulfilled in David, at least not perfectly. Ultimately, they're fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ. Only He is righteous, without a taint of sin. The Bible tells us in our text that we've just read two times, according to my righteousness. And only He is righteous. Only He has clean hands which have never committed sin. We look at our hands, brothers and sisters, and we know these hands of mine have sinned. These hands have committed sin. Just like Pilate calling for the bowl of water so he could wash his hands and he could say, "I wash my hands of the blood of this man." Our Lord Jesus Christ had clean hands which had never committed sin. Only the Lord Jesus Christ has perfectly kept the ways of the Lord and will never, or had never wickedly departed from God. Only He has never, ever set aside God's statutes in order to do His own will. Only He is absolutely blameless before God. Only He is holy, harmless, undefiled, absolutely free from iniquity, and thus qualified to be our sin bearer. Though He was the Son of God, though his rank, his high rank, might have exempted him from the common lot of men, yet our Lord Jesus Christ subjected himself to sufferings for our sake. And this is an encouragement to us, brothers and sisters. When our adversities press down upon us and overwhelm us, when we think we can never go on, yet that does not exclude us from the number of God's children. Our Lord Jesus Christ experienced adversities, and yet He was a son, as the book of Hebrews teaches us. When our adversities press down upon us, when we feel overwhelmed by the things that life throws at us, we can call to mind the Son of God who labored under the same conditions. Since He has gone before us, there's no reason for us to faint. We can have confidence that God indeed does hear our prayers, even though it might not be immediately evident. Our Lord Jesus Christ prayed and He was heard. He prayed to the one who could deliver Him from death and He was heard. And so we can pray to the one who delivers us from death, and we can have the assurance that yes, we are heard. Our prayers sometimes don't seem to be answered, but in fact they are answered. And they're answered in an even better way than we could ever imagine or think. When the answer is delayed, we can have assurance that God has given us far more than if He had fully granted our request. He knows what's best for us. He will give us according to His will. He will not withhold from us any good thing. He will do for us exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Brothers and sisters, when prayers don't seem to be answered, we can take assurance that yes, they are answered. Christ prayed to the one who could deliver Him from death, and He was heard. We pray through Him, and we are heard as well. Let's go to Him now in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we do thank You that prayer is not just a meaningless exercise for the weak-minded. Lord, we thank You that prayer is powerful. We thank You that prayer is an opportunity to come before the throne of God and to know that if we ask anything according to Your will, we, like our Savior Jesus Christ, are heard. There are no exceptions. Lord, sometimes You answer a prayer with a yes, and our hearts are gladdened. Sometimes You answer our prayers with a no. And Lord, while we may be disappointed, we know that You still heard, and You had good reasons for why You answered as You did. Sometimes, Lord, You answer our prayers with a wait. Lord, we know that it's difficult to wait, but it is our duty as Christians to wait on the Lord. Thank You, Lord, that none of our prayers offered through the mediation of Jesus Christ will ever fall to the ground. They are heard. They are answered. We pray these things in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen.